All right, grab your Bibles as we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you'll turn over there to that little short epistle that Peter wrote to aliens and strangers who are pilgrims walking through this land. We've seen the past, we've seen the future, we've seen the present, and now he comes to the past as he here in chapter 1 talks about our hopes, our trials, and the word that was written to encourage us along the way. We're in verses 10 through 12. And Peter, who reminds you and me that we're going through trials, we're going to be delivered from them. But the mystery of that great deliverance, that salvation, it's not just a future glory. The Old Testament prophets saw it. They wrote about it. You know, the Old Testament, when you and I flip over there, we should see pictures of salvation. We should understand the story even more fully than they did. And he reminds us tonight that when they were writing and writing down, inspired, moved by the Spirit of God, the Spirit within them, helping them to write those things down, they didn't necessarily understand everything they wrote. But God ensured that they wrote every single word precisely as he wanted it. But what they didn't understand is they weren't necessarily writing for themselves. They were also writing for us. They were writing to encourage us that there's a God he's had a plan from the very beginning. Amen? There's a God who's working all things according to that plan. There's a God who's going to bring glory to his name. He's going to bring good to people, namely through delivering them. And it's that salvation that we are longing for, looking for, and we're rejoicing with joy. And we should be rejoicing with joy, because one day we will receive the salvation of our souls, even when we're going through present trials. That's the picture. He's writing to those, listen, their faith is strange. They're being persecuted for their faith. The world doesn't receive them. The world doesn't like them. The world doesn't accept them. They don't isolate themselves. Listen, we're going to be salt and light in this world. We should have a witness, have a testimony. In fact, he'll say over in chapter 4, you know what? You need to be ready to give a defense of the faith, an apology. You should be. You can't give an apology if you're not mingled, commingling, talking with the world around you, if you're not, you know, engaged with them. But the amazing thing is that even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, even though they were persecuted by the world, but there's a future hope for us. And it's that salvation that we're looking forward to. Now, what about this salvation that we saw last week in verse 9 that we're looking forward to, the salvation of our souls? Notice what he says in verse 10. Of this salvation, the one that we're experiencing, the one that we're looking forward to, the deliverance, not only that is the moment we walked down that aisle or when we got on our knees and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. I'm a wretched sinner. I need Jesus to save me from my sins. The moment we did that, that salvation that started right then, it's not complete yet. One day it's going to be complete when we get glorified bodies. Amen. We're being sanctified. We are being saved right now as we're being sanctified. And we will be saved when we're finally glorified. And salvation is complete. That salvation that we've experienced, he says in verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied, watch this, of the grace that would come to you. So they were writing. You go read the Old Testament. Of course, they're writing to situations that they're facing in their day. Whether it was Isaiah, the prophet writing, dealing with the Assyrian army that's there surrounding the northern kingdom and writing and speaking and giving a word of hope, giving a word of help, giving a word of encouragement. And yet he speaks of a virgin that's going to give birth. He speaks of one that would be born and the government would rest upon his shoulders. He speaks of one that's going to be called, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is this one? And what is he going to be? He's the one who speaks of one who by his stripes we are going to be what? Healed. Is he talking to himself? No. He was speaking of the grace that would come, Peter says, to you, to me. They were writing there in the Old Testament, particularly the old Messianic Psalms that David wrote, some of them. Messianic Psalms. David's writing a song, but he doesn't realize even sometimes as he's writing it, this is about the Son of David. Sometimes it's about him and his experiences, and sometimes it's a both and. It's about David and about the son of David. And these prophets who wrote, even Moses, the great prophet, I mean, he's writing, and he's writing about a great prophet who would arise that would be greater than him. And that was the one, hear ye him, was the command. Who is that prophet? Who is that priest? Oh, not the priest that comes through from Aaron. No, that priest, that Melchizedekian priest. Who is he? Who is that king, that son of David, that will sit on his throne forever and ever and ever? Who's that suffering servant that would come? And what's this grace that God would give to people? They all wrote. They didn't understand always what they were writing. But here's the amazing thing. Peter would say over in 2 Peter chapter 1 that they wrote precisely what the Spirit of God within them told them to write. They were like ships with sails, and the Spirit of God blew wind in the sails, so the ship went in the direction God intended for it, which Peter is saying, listen, they wrote precisely what the Spirit of God wanted them to write. We don't have merely men's words here in the Old Testament. We have God's words spoken. Or as Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 7, all scripture is God breathed. It's a beautiful picture when you take that word God breathed there and you think of what Peter says. No, this is wind in the sails. They were driven like this, blew that way. You know, you can't say a word without air, right? It has to go across your vocal cords, right? And only air enables you to speak. Same way God spoke. And what they wrote wasn't for them. Well, that's encouraging tonight. A lot of times we don't want to open up the Old Testament, do we? We're New Testament believers, right? We're the church. Well, the Old Testament's written, it says right here, for us. I should be able to read the Old Testament and ask God, open my eyes and help me see the grace that you're bringing to me. The grace that I experience not only now, but the grace I get to experience then. That Old Testament. And some say, oh, Pastor Chris, I fall asleep in Exodus. Why? You know, 14 cubits by 27 cubits by overlaid in silver. I mean, come on, y'all. I've been there. I'm being honest. Right? The question you should always be asking is, God, how does this point to Jesus? How does this tell me about the grace that would... Who fulfills this? We've already walked through that as we went through Exodus and Leviticus. So, just recently. But all of this was written, the great mystery of the Messiah. Who's this seed? Who's this son of Abraham? Who's this son, or this one that comes from the tribe of Judah, that who's going to have a scepter and is going to reign? Who's this one that's the son of David? Who's this one that's going to be betrayed? Who's this one that Micah says is going to be born in Bethlehem? By the way, if that's true, why weren't they setting up camps, you know, with CNN right there, watching to see the next birth here in Bethlehem? I mean, God told them, right? That's why they were shocked when the Magi appeared, right? We're here to see the king. What are they talking about, Herod? What are they talking about? Come here, scribes. Well, it says here in Bethlehem, he'd be born. Well, get down there and find that child. All those things were written for us, for our benefit. In fact, they didn't just write it down. They searched, right? They contemplated what manner of time. When is this going to take place? The Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand two things. What did he testify? Watch this now. He testified of the gospel. Notice this in verse 11. The Spirit of God inspired them to write, and when they wrote about the grace we'd experience, that grace was tied to, notice this, the sufferings of Messiah and the glories that would follow. Beloved, that's the gospel. Can I tell you what that is? The death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel, by the way. Isn't that what Paul says in Corinthians? What is the gospel? That Jesus suffered and died according to the scriptures. And that he rose again, right? According to, he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. You see, the word, it tells us the gospel, and it's in the Old Testament. You say, where's that? Well, I read that passage in Daniel tonight when we came in intentionally. Why? Yeah, shut up the book, seal up the book for the end times, don't sell anything. But there is coming a day where there'll be a resurrection. Some to joyful celebration of that resurrection, some to eternal condemnation. That's pretty serious. There's coming a day. Why is that true? We see because there's one who's the resurrection and the life. There's one who ensures there will be a resurrection one day because he's already experienced it. And he's already conquered death. You can't have a resurrection to eternal blessedness and joy if there isn't one who's assured us he's done that. Praise God, he has. Where are the sufferings? Well, I mentioned those in Isaiah. You can read them in Psalm 22. You can read them in Psalm 69. All the pictures of what happens at the cross written there in song form. When are we singing Psalm 22 and 69 there, Winston? Well, don't answer right now. These things point to him. The sufferings he would experience, Isaiah writes all about it. Man, by his stripes, I love that, we are healed. Amen. He took our punishment. He bore our iniquities upon him, our chastisement. It pleased God to do that upon his son. Wow. All that's written in the Old Testament. Zechariah, talking about a lot of the end times things that'll happen. And all these things point to the Christ, the Christos. By the way, the first prophet Moses wrote about it because it was spoken to the first man and the first woman when God preached the gospel to the serpent and told him, cursed are you more than all the creatures, on your belly you shall go. You shall nip him on the heel, the seed of the woman, but he's going to crush your head. Yeah, he would suffer, but ultimately he would win. That's our Savior. You see, to them, Peter says, verse 12, it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by that same, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. I mean, they were contemplating what was being told to them. They didn't understand the times. They didn't understand when it was going to happen. They didn't understand it all. But what they wrote about, Peter says, hey, those things are now being preached to you. There are those who are now preaching to you the gospel by the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that inspired them to write those things down, that Holy Spirit now inspires the proclamation of God's word, the gospel. So much so, listen, that as they were preaching, God is from beginning to end telling us what's going to happen for salvation, when salvation is going to come, and then taking the word that's being preached, I believe, and then applying it to the hearts of men so people can be saved. The preaching, the teaching, the proclamation of God's word, it's in vain if the Spirit of God is not working in the hearts of men. We need that Spirit to bring forth new life. Jesus says, listen, how does the rebirth happen? Nicodemus, you know, I don't know. How does this rebirth thing happen? How are you born again? How do you go back into your mama? I mean, it doesn't make sense. No. You don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. It's the same way with the Spirit. You don't see the Spirit, but you see the effects of the Spirit. It's a Spirit who brings new life. And that Spirit takes the Word and uses the Word so that new life can happen. In fact, he'll say that over in verse 24. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Wow, an eternal God spoke an eternal word. And when he had inspired those prophets to write it, not even understand what they were writing, who it was for, what time it would happen, they're writing for us. They're writing for Peter's audience. He's writing to them, by the way, those who are scattered everywhere. He's writing to them saying, this is for you. Yes, you're suffering. God had a word for you, and he planned it hundreds of years even before you even got here. What an amazing God. And the good news that they're sharing is awesome news, that Christ suffered, bled, and died for us to save us and to redeem us. And he conquered sin and the grave. And if that's not a reason to have hope, to have the joy that he speaks of, this living hope back in verse 3, that God has begotten us again, born us to new life, to this new living hope, because Christ has been raised from the dead. Beloved, read the word and rejoice in it. What it tells us, what it reminds us of, what has been written and what's going to happen. Now, the fascinating thing is, who was looking in? Who was inquiring? Who was writing all this down? The prophets. But I love that last part of the verse. That not only were they trying to figure things out, man, what this means. Hey, Jacob, come here, look at this. What does this mean? You know, I don't know, quite understand it. You know who else was looking into it? Check this out. Things which angels desire to look into. Now that just fascinates me. Can angels be redeemed? Nope. No, Jesus didn't die for angels, did he? No. He died for mankind. Angels, though, are interested in salvation. Could you just imagine what they witness, what they see, what they understand, what they... No, I mean, now, angels are the ministering spirits of God, right? Sometimes angels are the ones that bring the word to the prophets. Sometimes the angels are there guiding the prophets, speaking to them, and at times we find them all throughout the Old Testament. But they also wanted to understand, I wonder what this means. I wonder what old Isaiah is writing there. I wonder what Malachi is writing down. I wonder what this song that David's inspired to write here. I wonder what this means. They carefully searched. In other words, angels are not omniscient. They didn't know all things. They didn't know when or what was going to happen, but they knew who was going to make it happen. Amen? And they worshiped him. And so when Jesus did not hold on to that position of equality with God, as Paul would say in Philippians 2, when Jesus stepped into flesh, when he took on the form of man, specifically what? The form of a doulos, a bondservant. Could you imagine what the angels were thinking? What in the world? Born in a manger? Being born? Hold on a second. That's the creator, the one who spoke it all into existence, the agent that God... Right? How? What is this? Again, do they know the future? They don't know all things, do they? No. They don't know the end. They do to the degree that we do from the scriptures that tell us. Hey, wait a second. Who is this one doing all these miraculous things, and yet now he's being ridiculed and mocked and scorned and whoa, whoa, whoa. They are beating him. They are cursing him. They are mocking him. They are crucifying him. I can't imagine. Wait, we read about this. Is this what this means? God, is this what you allowed your son to experience and go through for redemption of mankind? Could you imagine what the... I can't wait to get to heaven to find out and ask him some questions. What? Did you want to intervene? I mean, he could have called how many? He could have called 10,000 angels, right? To come and destroy the world. He couldn't have. Don't we sing that song? That's what he told Pilate, right? I got myriads of angels I could call on, right? But he didn't. I wonder if they wanted to stop that. And of course, they wanted to do the will of the Father, so. But it's worth thinking about. But they wanted to know. They wanted to understand what was being written. And then could you imagine the day that they were there and the two that had the privilege to be by the tomb and tell everybody, he ain't here. He's risen. That would be neat. I wonder if they had looked into the text and tried to figure something out. And they were the ones that got to announce and proclaim, go meet him. Go meet him. He told you to go meet him. Or the ones that stood there when he was ascended into heaven. Why are y'all still looking up here? Right? I wonder. I want to find out who those are when we get there. Amen. Well, beloved, if they're that excited about looking into it, and the prophets are that excited about looking into it, so shouldn't we, amen? Yeah. Open the Word. Let God speak. Ask God to give you a renewed hunger. God, show me how great this salvation is that we are privileged to experience. Who are we, not only that He even takes thought of us, who are we that He redeems us? Hey, we don't deserve this. And yet He does. What an amazing God, amen? What an amazing salvation we've got. Amen. Let's not keep it to ourselves, amen? Since we've looked in, since we've seen, since we understand, let's be those who, well, let's share it. Let's make others aware of it, amen? Let's be faithful to do it. Let's praise the Lord. Father, God, thank You for victory in Jesus through His blood and through His name. Father, again, we praise You and thank You that You've written this all down. You knew it all from beginning to end. And Lord, as our eyes have been opened and our hearts have been inspired and encouraged to draw closer to You tonight and to be reminded of what You've told us and the grace that You were going to bring to us and that now we've experienced and the ultimate eternal bliss that's awaiting us as well, the salvation of our souls. God, we look forward to that day. But Lord, we know we're strangers in a foreign land. God, help us to be faithful in our witness, faithful in our testimony. Lord, help us, as Peter will say, be ready to give a defense and share with others for the hope that's within us. A hope that Your Son made able through His death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus, we love You tonight. Help us to share that love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.